everyone. Welcome back to the Earthdawn Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters. With your questers, Josh and Dan. That guy is Josh.
And that guy is Dan.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things thaumaturgical, shaman edition, third and fourth circle spells, just to kind of round out our exploration of what the spells can do for you. And we have a nice little, not quite a dozen this time. We've got a perfect 10, I believe. Five in third circle, five in fourth circle. So if you have any questions for us, or if you've used these in wonderful ways, please drop us a line and let us know. That email address is edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Our beginning third circle spell for the shaman discipline is catwalk.
Before we actually get into the discussion of the spell specifically, I want to reiterate something that we talked about when we did the shaman discipline overview.
Right.
Back however many episodes ago that was. And also probably mentioned as well in the first and second circle spell description. But this is a special feature of the shaman, a special ability that they get at fifth circle. So this is something that becomes available after they have advanced through these, but some of these spells have this feature. At fifth circle, the shaman gets a discipline ability called pack leadership, which allows them to perform a ritual. They then name and place a drop of blood on up to a number of allies equal to their rank in shamanism, their threadweaving talent, and taking one blood magic damage for each ally. When the adept casts a spell with the pack keyword, they can spend one strain per target and affect up to all named pack marked targets within range of the spell. They can choose how many to affect. They don't have to affect everybody at the same time, but this is a way, in a sense, like how some of the other disciplines have spells where you can weave an extra thread to gain additional targets.
Yeah.
Once they get to fifth circle, this is a way that the shaman can sort of get around that or take advantage of that type of thing without necessarily needing to weave the extra threads. Mm-hmm. One other additional cost here is if the spell is also a binding spell, because there are some of those, they need to pay an additional karma point per target, sort of as a payment to the spirits that you are summoning to bind into your allies.
Yeah.
So this is something that is available as a feature, thus to kind of be kept in mind when you get to into journeyman circles, obviously, which immediately makes all of the pack effects of these available. The reason I mention that is that catwalk is a pack spell.
There you go.
It is a spell that is similar to some other effects available to other disciplines or magicians, but it provides bonuses to all targets to any action tests involving climbing, balancing, or sneaking.
Okay. I just love that it has a verbal component where the spellcaster actually has to say meow several times. And so the Meow Mix commercial from the 80s jumped in my head. Not in a good way.
Yeah, it is not a binding spell. It does not bind a spirit into the target the way that, say, some of the other, like, Nethermancer and Elementalist spells do.
Yes.
But it is a spirit spell. Like, this bonus is provided by a spirit coming and providing this bonus to the targeted character or characters.
Nicely done. Yeah, I like catwalk. Next up, invoke Lion's Pride.
This is not a pack spell, but it is a spirit spell, which means that, again, like a lot of shaman magic, involves a spirit, and the spirit keyword has a particular bonuses. There are some knacks and things like that, I think, with the shaman that involve spirits that would provide bonuses for these spells.
Yeah.
But this is an attack spell. The shaman summons a lion spirit to attack the target. It is short range. It is only 10 yards. It does require a thread, but it does will plus 6 damage, reduced by physical armor.
Yeah.
And
can harry the target.
If there is an ally adjacent to the target is harried until the end of the next round. A lot of the shaman's spells and effects do a lot to really play into the idea of a pack of working together.
Yeah, pack of wolves taking down an antelope.
Yeah, so Invoke Lion's Pride does damage on its own, but if you use it to attack a target that is adjacent to one of your allies, then it causes a secondary effect of harrying the target, which is nice.
Yes. So basically, I was wrong. A pride of lions taking down a zebra.
Yes.
Better. I happened to look down and see Mark of the Wolf next, and that's where my head went. So, sorry. Mark of the Wolf is next, a one-thread spell.
Yes, another one-thread spell. This one is a pack spell as well. It is also a binding spell. This temporarily binds a wolf spirit into a willing target. If successful, the target counts as two opponents for the purposes of inflicting harried and gains +2 to close combat attack and damage tests for each adjacent ally or ally attacking the same target. They can't count twice.
Yeah.
This provides potentially nasty penalties and stacked bonuses. The target, you know, as a binding spell, it does have some requirements. The target of the spell must move toward or actively engage an enemy in combat each round, and they can't abandon allies. But because the bound character counts as two individuals for the purpose of harried, if you cast this on two people when they are attacking the same target, that individual is harried. Yes. Normally it requires four, like you've got to almost surround somebody with this. The target is harried and each of the bound characters gains a +2 bonus to close combat attack and damage.
Yeah.
This is a nasty spell. The drawback being if you don't have a lot of close combat members of your party, this isn't really going to do you quite as much good. It does not limit you in terms of how you can attack the target. It only requires that you engage with them. So it, unlike, say, some of the other combat enhancement spells that require aggressive attack or some various other things that kind of limit what you might be able to do, casting this on frontliners, warriors, swordmasters, sky raiders, still allows them to use their regular talents and abilities to engage the target. It just provides additional bonuses. For a third circle spell, this is actually providing some potentially really nice bonuses, especially when you get up into fifth circle and can use this as a pack mark spell. Even with the additional karma cost that's required because it's a binding, this is a great spell. The shaman spell selection in general is just really
wonderful.
Really wonderful, yeah. Because in a sense, it wasn't bound by pre-existing spells, because the shaman was sort of rebuilt from the ground up and having it had its own spells created from scratch. Yeah. There was a lot more strongly thematic stuff that could be woven through them.
Well, and for additional threads, you can take that +2 to attack and damage, make it a +3 attack and damage. So, and then another thread, of course, will get you +4 attack and damage and so forth and so on. So it's, you can do more than just +2. You just need the extra threads to do so. Because it's not dependent upon how many allies you have around you. That's why it says allies do not cannot count twice. So next up, Polecat Resilience.
This is a two-thread spell because it has a long duration. It's a spellcaster's rank in hours.
Oh, wow.
So this is something that is going to last for a good chunk of the day. And the more experienced your magician, the longer it's going to last.
Yeah.
This spell enhances the target's resistance to disease and poison, providing a +3 bonus to tests against both of those. It is another pack spell.
Yeah.
So once you get into those higher circles, you can, for a little bit of strain damage, a little bit of blood magic to make the pack, and then strain damage to target everybody at the same time, you can provide everybody bonuses against disease and poison, which in certain circumstances can be very handy.
Oh, no kidding. We did a whole poison.
Especially poison.
Yeah. We did a whole poisons and diseases episode. That's a handy thing to have, is any resistance to that stuff, without a doubt. Last spell in the third circle for shamans, Sunlight.
Yeah, this is a relatively straightforward spell. It creates sunlight as opposed to some other light creating spells. This is actually sunlight, even if it's nighttime or it's cast indoors.
Yeah.
Any creatures that are affected by sunlight in some capacity are affected by the spell. It doesn't provide any necessarily special protection, especially if, you know, the things aren't actually weak or unaffected somehow by sunlight. Of course it is, especially if you're casting it indoors or in a dark area. It is very obvious. But in addition to affecting creatures that are weak in some capacity against sunlight, it also does a pretty effective job of unmasking illusions that are within the area of effect, providing a plus 20 bonus to associated sensing tests in order to sense the illusions.
It's nicely done, especially since it lasts, rank plus 5 minutes.
Yes.
So that'll make all the shadows disappear and disinfect some things with some sunlight. So the interesting thing about third circle spells for shamans, none of these are a zero thread spell. These are all one or two threads.
Yeah. Because the spell effects are in some ways a little bit more potent than some of the others, they don't get that. They get some zero thread spells at lower circle.
Yeah.
But these are all spells that take a little bit of ramp up because of the effects that they provide and the extended durations that most of them have.
Absolutely. Is there a favorite of these in the third circle for you? I think Mark of the Wolf.
Mark of the Wolf is really good. Invoke Lion's Pride is really good. They're all solid.
Oh, yeah. Catwalk is very handy.
Catwalk can be handy. Polecat Resilience can be handy in sunlight. The appropriate circumstances. Sunlight
can be handy.
Could be handy. But yeah, I think the sort of top choices would be Invoke Lion's Pride, which is a decent damage spell. Mm-hmm. Close range, but decent. And Mark of the Wolf, which is especially effective once you get into journeyman circles and can really take advantage of its pack status.
Absolutely.
You're not going to be able to do that a lot necessarily because of the associated karma costs because it's a binding spell.
Yeah.
But man, make yourself a windling shaman. Give yourself that karma pool.
No stopping you. Well, a little bit. On to fourth circle, another five wonderful spells here. First one up, Ferret Reflex.
Oh, this is a great spell. This is another pack spell, another spirit spell as well. Not a binding, but a spirit spell, which means that a spirit is sort of helping out. All of the targets gain a plus 3 bonus to initiative and physical defense.
Beautifully. Yeah, not more much need be said on that one.
And it's a zero thread spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't, there's like nothing more that you need to say about that. Those are both really, really nice bonuses.
Yeah, that's done. Next, Gills.
This actually, I think, in earlier editions was an elementalist spell. I feel like it might have been an elementalist spell. But it's really, really appropriate as a shaman spell. It allows the target to breathe underwater. That's it.
Very helpful for your obsidian friends who cannot swim.
It basically summons a fish spirit to imbue the target with the ability to breathe underwater. Another pack spell, so you can affect your entire group. Mm-hmm. This can be in the same matrix as a spell called Otter Swim, which I don't know what circle that is offhand. I'm scanning real quick.
First circle.
First circle? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
right, so we talked about that before. Otter Swim provides a bonus to swimming tests and movement rate while in the water. So this can be in the same matrix to, rather than needing to take up a lot of matrix space for water survivability.
Yeah. But again, if you got to cross a big river or a lake, Otter Swim and Gills together, very handy, because drowning is a thing. So, next, fourth circle spell, Invoke Shark Rend.
Ah, this is a nice one. A zero thread damage spell. Shaman is summoning a shark spirit to attack the target. It actually does not require you to be in or near water in order to cast this. It just pulls it out. The spirit sort of materializes out of the shadows, air parting as water, as the description says.
Yeah.
And then rends the target. The effect test determines how much damage is inflicted. It is a physical spell. If the target is wounded, the magician gains a plus 2 to their spellcasting and effect tests. If the target suffers a wound from the attack, it is a bleeding wound that causes damage equal to the shaman's circle at the beginning of each following round for the duration of the spell, which is 4 rounds. If the target heals any damage during that time, the bleeding stops.
Well done. It's like a land shark.
And extra successes increase the damage step.
Nice.
thereby increasing the odds that it is going to deal the wound that's required to kind of trigger that secondary effect. Like several other spells that have damage plus a secondary effect, the damage is only inflicted once. It is the secondary effect that continues through the duration of the spell. Fair. It does not cause the base damage each round.
Yeah, no, for the Invoke Shark Rend, I love the fact that it's zero threads first, but the extra threads can either get you more duration, more effect, more range, or more targets. So really, it's all four aspects for an additional thread at all on top of zero threads. So
you decide when you get to Journeyman Circle, if you're going to have this in your matrix, what the bonus is going to be. Additional target is always a nice one.
Yes. Any of those are a beautiful thing to throw in there.
Yeah.
So
increase effect is probably not necessarily as required because you're getting the extra effect bonus from higher spellcasting tests.
Yeah.
But the increased duration means that if it causes a bleeding wound, then it will last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And increased range is always somewhat nice to have handy.
Totally. Totally, totally. Two to go. Mark of the Bear.
This is a binding pack spell. So similar to Mark of the Wolf from Third mm-hmm. Circle. This summons a bear spirit to temporarily bind into the willing target. The target gains +2 to close combat, attack, and damage tests. And if any opponent attempts to disengage from the target, then they may immediately make a close combat attack against said opponent. If successful, the movement rate drops to 0, in addition to the damage and other effects. The target, the bound character, must choose an ally to protect when the spell is cast. If the target ends their turn more than 2 yards from the chosen ally, the spell immediately ends. So this is a
bodyguard spell.
Bodyguard spell, yeah.
You got to pick somebody, be their bodyguard, and not move from them.
Yeah, this creates an effect that is similar if people have played 5th edition D&D. There's a feat called Sentinel, where if somebody attempts to move away from you, triggering an attack of opportunity, and you successfully hit them, then you prevent them from moving, you know, which is nice. It's like a battlefield control sort of thing, limiting the mobility of your opponents to get to places that they want to.
And lastly, in the Fourth Circle Shaman's spell kit, Repel Animal.
Repel Animal sets up an area that tries to keep animals out. This is like the shaman version of Life Circle of One.
Yeah, there you go.
Where you create the area that you don't want the things to cross over. In this case, it keeps out animals. It does not affect undead, horrors, horror constructs, or sapient beings. Mm-hmm. So name givers aren't affected by it. You know, I would say probably like ogres and cave trolls and things like that may not traditionally be considered name givers.
Yeah, fair.
To be able to enter. And sapient beings could potentially even include some things that you might consider animals. But yeah, a test is made when an animal tries to enter the circle. If successful, the animal is kept out. If it doesn't succeed, then the animal is able to cross into normally. But there's no damage effect or anything like that. It simply keeps an area from being affected.
Indeed. Yeah. This is your camping overnight, hide my food so the bears don't come get it spell.
It does last rank hours.
There you go.
Again, because it is an extended duration like that, it requires 2 threads.
Mm-hmm.
It does not cover a very large area. It's only a 2-yard radius, so it's not really apt to necessarily cover a whole campsite unless you use extra threads to increase the area.
Yeah.
But it can cover, like you said, put your food or something else that you don't want animals to get into or to get at within the circle, and then you've got a decent chance of most normal creatures not getting there.
Yeah.
The result of the spellcasting test is compared to the mystic defense, I think, of any animal attempting to enter the circle.
With as many threads as you want to throw on there for the hours that you want it to last and increasing your range or your area, then yeah, take your time. Weave like 5 or 6, yeah, a few threads.
Yeah, but keep in mind that the number of extra threads that you can add to it is limited, rules as written, by your tier.
Mm-hmm.
So at 4th circle, you could only add 1 additional thread. You can get 2 extra threads when you get into your journeyman tier.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you're going to be able to necessarily
broaden to the size of a football field.
Right.
Can't keep the kingdom safe with repel animal. Yeah. Just my campfire.
And extra successes against its base casting difficulty of 6.
Yeah.
Extra successes increase the duration.
Yeah.
So it's possible to have this last for a little bit.
Fair. Favorite of the fourth circle spells for shamans.
Invoke Sharkrend. Ferret Reflexes is really, really nice, but Invoke Sharkrend is just brutal.
Fair.
But yeah, Invoke Sharkrend and Ferret Reflex are the top two. Mark of the Bear is a close third.
Mm-hmm. Gills is
nice, but pretty limited. Situational.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the typical sort of adventuring situation that you're going to be in, you're going to be more likely to find use for Ferret Reflex, Invoke Sharkrend, and Mark of the Bear. Those are the ones that you are more likely to find use for compared to the other two. But again, solid spells, all pretty good effects going there.
Oh, no, agreed. I think Repel Animal and Gills are more for if you were going to tell a story, a novella, or a novel with a shaman character.
They are a little bit more flavorful. They're like some of the other spells available to other magician disciplines. They're sort of more in theme, they're more role-playing, they're more utility.
Yeah.
And so while they are no doubt particularly useful when you want them, they are not the flashy ones that stick out in your mind when you go through this spell list for the first time, reading what they do and going, ooh.
Fair. To your point, the third and fourth circle are all solidly written, but yes, there are some standouts that are more readily usable than the slightly more situational spells
and
that are out there.
Again,
but all
I'm kind of approaching that from the standpoint of really when somebody is making a magician character, what are the types of spells they're going to likely capture their imagination?
Yes. Agreed.
Combat spells, whether damage dealing or enhancement or whatever, tend to be the ones that are going to draw attention initially, because in these games, in all honesty, combat is something that does crop up not infrequently.
Yes. Agreed. So, folks, until next time, go find your pack spells for your legend.
Good night, everybody.